Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
Fine, fine. Let me just raise this. You will not believe the setup I have to keep this camera. There you go. Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
Right, let me
Happy New
just.
Year, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah, man.
Let me just invite some people to join. Let's see here. There's some people joining already, so that's cool. Let me just add some more people.
This is, I have a feeling this interview is going to go very well. Very, very well.
I wonder why you feel
Mark will
that. All right, let me see who is on. Let me see who is on. All right, I see Shia, Ray, Tula Art. Ooh, Raw Material Short Film is here. So Raw Material is a short film that I worked on last year.
Yeah.
Pretty cool story. And in fact, what you'd love is that the cinematographer, he's also a musician, so he did the score for
Nice.
the film. I don't know if it's him that's on or if it's his wife, but it's the Raw Materials account. And it's been winning quite a lot of awards. And it's in a Oscar qualifying film festival right now. I think it's a Pan-African Film Festival.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
Yeah. So that's definitely one of my highlights from last year working on that film. Really
Nice.
proud of
Was
it. Even though the director.
he the main animator?
No, it wasn't an animation. This was actual live action film.
Really? Nice.
Pretty cool story. Even though the director thinks it's boring. The writer and director thinks it's boring. I think creators are always critical of their work.
Nice.
All right.
You're multi-hyphenate, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah. In fact, I was even on our local TV station this morning, doing some martial arts demonstrations and talking a little bit about fight choreography because that's something that I do as well. I'm very passionate about.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. So, this Instagram Live is partly for my podcast as well. But decided, hey, let's do it on IG Live so people can participate live. And I am interviewing you. Well, we're not really interviewing, we're having a discussion. Navid Lancaster from Trinidad, he's a musician. And why I'm talking to him is because he not only a traditional musician, but he works in the digital realm of music as well and has done some scoring in films and games and that sort of thing. So just kind of want to talk to you a bit about that. And one of the questions I'm going to ask you, because I'm very interested in hearing your point of view, is like the state of music today, what you think about it, and all of that. I'm sure you have some views on
Oh yeah.
that. But first, introduce yourself so people can kind of learn more about who you are.
Yeah. Well, hi everybody and happy New Year. My name is Navid Lancaster. I am from Trinidad and Tobago. I'm a musician first and foremost. For the first 20 years of my career or so, I was a sound engineer, a musician. I ran a band called Broken Mirrors for about 12 years, where we played, rock, metal, speed metal. I know it don't look like it, but that's what my and we did that for about 12 years, combining metal and stuff with local genres. In between that, I worked in various recording studios, basically composing calypsos, a little bit of soca, and of course recording artists and producing artists. So for at least part of that time, I worked in a recording studio, ran a recording studio for about 6 years in Port of Spain for a cultural promotional company. And then I left there and worked in the University of Trinidad and Tobago in the music technology department for about 4 years, maintaining their music lab there. And that aspect, we recorded like Panorama, as you may know, Carnival is coming up in Trinidad and Tobago. So the steel pan was a big thing, still is a big thing there. And we recorded all the competitions from the preliminaries to the finals, usually in 5.1 surround sound. So that was a first. So I did that for a few years while I was there. And then I left there and started for the past 11 years my film career, where it's not just film, I'm talking about scoring for film, multiple award-winning films, animations, video games, and mobile applications. I run a very small outfit called Landcast Limited, and slowly but surely we've been gaining ground in the local, regional, and international spheres, where I'm fortunate to say that I do not just know people, but some people in the industry know me due to the quality of what I've been fortunate to be working on. So that is
Ah,
basically
cool.
me in a nutshell.
Nice. And I mean, boy, you said some things that I didn't even know about you, like broken mirrors. That's
Oh,
interesting.
yeah.
I
Very
know,
good.
funny enough, Jamaica went through their phase where, like, a lot of people started metal bands and stuff like that, and even though it didn't have like a huge following, it had a very dedicated following. I used to go to some of the parties and listen to the music, and while it wasn't a lot of people, very dedicated people. Broke. So
Oh, yeah.
talk to me. Let's go into that just a little bit. Broken Mirrors. What made you start that? Did you start the band or are you just a part of the band?
No, I actually started the band along with my co-founder, Sheldon Manu. What happened is that, to make a long story short, in the beginning of my career, I started playing guitar at the age of 19, after my A levels, and I went to Guyana, which was supposed to be for about 3 months, but I ended up spending 4 months there because I loved the country so much. It was on a Baha I'm a member of the Baha'i faith, and I went there on a Baha'i teaching project to learn what they've been doing in teaching the faith across there. And I ended up loving the country so much, I wrote back. I noticed I said wrote back because in those days email was very very new. It took about 1992. You know what I mean? So I wrote back.
That was pen pal time,
For the other people in the audience, yeah, we actually used to write letters, go figure. And and they said, yeah, you could stay there for an extended period of time. So I ended up spending 4 months there. During that time, I met a guy named JB Eckel, who was a Baha'i, who ended up going when he left Guyana. He's a Canadian. Went and spent some time in a band, a funk band called War, very famous band in the States, and then ended up playing with Carlos Santana. So that's the kind of people who I met across there. And I came back and was very, very passionate about guitar playing. I mean, you know my email. My email is Navi.Hendrix. I'm a Hendrix fan. And spent inordinate amount of hours playing guitar, learning guitar, and then ended up teaching guitar to a few people for a while. And one of the people who I started teaching guitar to was Sheldon Manu. And I'm a tinkerer. I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a proud card-carrying nerd. And I like to tinker with stuff with gadgets. And I had a camera, an old camera. And while dismantling it, the lens split directly in half. So
Ooh.
my brother, he said, that sounds like the name of a band, Broken Mirrors. I was like, cool, can you run it to Sheldon? He said, yeah, that sounds like a cool name. And we ended up forming a band. And that band lasted for about 12 years. Yeah.
Well, wow, that's
Yeah.
good.
Yeah,
That's good.
we had been around for a while.
No, wow, that's nice. And like, you only played in Trinidad, or did you get any overseas
No,
gigs
no
to just kept
overseas.
just keep it local?
Yeah, the rock circuit, or mainly the metal circuit especially, where it's underground, it's still underground. Usually the Mecca is in Chaguanas. That's a place in Trinidad and Tobago. And yeah, so we went to know the club scene once in a while. We did the high-end competition stuff. For a few years they had it, but I think they're starting it back again called the Anchorage Pop Music Awards. So we entered that a few times. But mainly, you're playing in bars, playing a little casino gig where obviously we can't play metal there, and we have to change our format a little bit. But yeah, it's been mainly the club scene. So yeah, I did everything in the crowd, the headbang, the mosh pit, water death.
Wow. All right, before we jump into the film stuff, I want to ask, you said you had a studio for 6 years. You started a studio. What was that experience like? And how comes,
So
you
I
only
didn't,
lasted 6 years?
I didn't start the studio. I worked in studios.
Oh, I get that you worked in studios and then you started one.
Oh, no. Those years I worked in studios and then started Lancaster Limited, which isn't actually a
Oh,
studio, yeah. But the stuff I pump out, yeah, it's I'm happy to say it's studio quality. Yeah.
okay. All right.
But in terms of the studios, I came up the old school way. I came just in the at the end of tape and the beginning of computer, at least in Trinidad and Tobago. So, and I did it the old-fashioned way, meaning I didn't start at the head. I was the gopher, made the tea, made the coffee. It was so bad at that time for me because, starting out as a broke musician, I slept on the studio floor, because I couldn't afford the transport to go to and fro, So yeah, I did that. I did it the hard way, the where you can't walk in and sit on the engineer's chair, you can't just do it, you have to work your way to that chair, to sit on that chair. So I started on analog, worked my way up, did some stuff on of course computers, and those computers at the time were Mac, they're still Macs, and I started my career as a secretary, using Windows. When Windows 95 came out, I cried tears of joy because I started out on DOS, Yeah, I am that. So, yeah. So I started out on that, and from there, worked my way up. When I started going to other studios, working at other studios, I was introduced to Windows software. So I'm still a Windows fan. I love my Windows. But yeah, if I have to go to Mac, because I had experience with that for years working in various studios and then switching, yeah, I could do that. I just have to remember where certain things are, and then once you learn one, you usually like learn all.
Oh, so Ray Edwards, he actually is probably the first person who officially taught me film. Before that I was just kind of learning on my own, but I did a course at UA and Ray Edwards taught me. So he's a mentor for me. He's asking, what year was all of this, tape
Oh, well,
and Mac switching doing this at?
the stuff with the Macs, you're looking at what, 98, 99, 2000 kind of thing. Yeah, that's when I left the first studio. I was a gopher. And that studio was 5.5, I think. Logic, oh my God, 5.5. That's to show how long ago that was. That's ancient,
That's what, 80s or early 90s?
So yeah, I think that was in the not 80s. 80s, I was still, listening to music. I started playing in the 90s, when I was 19. So do the math. But the studio stuff started like late 90s, mid to late 90s, and the early 2000s. So I started my career officially, because what happened is that I started playing first, and then since I was into computers, it was a natural fit, meaning that you're playing live and you have a computer. Okay, so the computer could record, so you just learn that program and start recording. And then, yeah, and then from there, years later, when I started getting into film, it was just a matter of attaching video to that. And of course, each of these things as an animation is the same thing. So basically, I know we'll be discussing this along this talk that we're having, but what are the similarities and the differences and these kind of things, you know? But yeah, it's, to me, it's just a long line of connection. Everything to me is a logical connection, you know, but all it's talking to me picking up the guitar.
So, all right, so let's just jump right into it. How did you end up starting film? You know, I mean, what brought you to that side? Were you even thinking of going into film in the first place, you know?
Quite by accident. It was so not on my radar. Mm-hmm. But what happened is that I'm a person that likes to market myself like crazy. As I tell people, it's not an ego thing. It's not a look at me because I'm great kind of thing. It's not that. It's just that if you want to get above the noise, you have to tell people who you are. So, what? It's well, we're now into the new year, basically. So this will be 10 years now, I think. Yeah. I was in a club running the live sound, you know, setting up the system, monitoring the system. And I saw this guy come in with his camera, set up his tripod, a semi-big camera, set up the tripod, and his girlfriend at the time, well, fiance at the time, walked in as well. I did not know them at the time. I just saw them set up their camera. So me and my coach self walk across there and said, "Hi, my name is Navid." And I had this little homemade card, which I had, and I gave it to him. And guy said, "Hi, my name is Stephen Taylor." Keep that name in mind, Stephen Taylor. And I asked him what he does. He says, you know, he does film. I mean, obviously he has a camera and he films events. A few months later, I got a call from him and he said that, you know, he's doing his school film, his final film for UWE, and he wanted to know if I could do the score for it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, let me do score. Because in my mind, as I said, it was like a logical thing. I do music all the time. During that time, of course, by the time Stephen spoke to me, I have already been doing music, recording artists, that kind of thing. So adding video to me just made sense. So I ended up doing the film, scoring the film for him, and that film ended up winning in 2012 the People's Choice at the Trinidad and Tobago Film Festival. That film, by the way, is called Buck the Man Spirit. Buck the Man Spirit. It's a full film dealing with bucks. Yeah.
Ray wants to know, was it film or video?
Oh, film. Actual short film. Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing that he means if it was shot with a camera that uses, you know,
I got it digitally, you know, so I assume, of course, it was a digital camera to use, you know, but the UWE, where the film program, I assume, because I'm not part of that program.
Right.
Okay. But I assume they get trained in both, you know, as far as I could tell. Mm-hmm. But I got it as actual digital film, digitized film, you know. I put it in my system, found out what the frame rate was, and then, of course, scored the film to suit, you know, what you wanted. Yeah.
All right. So that was the start of this, you know,
that was
this career in filmmaking. So one of the things I want to know is the first time you scoring a film, was there any nervousness, any apprehension? Was there anything that you went, okay, this is different? You know, what was the approach? Or did you just look at the scene and go, okay, yeah, I know what I'm going to do, and you just do it and give it to them and, you know, they love it?
Yes and no. Yes and no, because I had my ideas, obviously, but I quickly learned, and it's something that all composers or directors that are watching will know or have to know. One is that it is not my film or animation, it's the director's. My job is to fulfill the vision of the director. And so before I even scored anything, I had with Stephen what is called a spotting session, where we sat down, we watched the film. I actually remember I went to him where he lived at the time, and we watched the film and we discussed what the feel he wanted for the scene, and more importantly, where he wanted music, and most importantly, on top of all that, where the music not supposed to be. So it's not to say that I'm scoring everything from top to bottom,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I scored it. He liked it. In fact, if I remember clearly, for that film, because that was the first time we ever had a working relationship, I don't even think he gave me any notes, really, you know, about, you know, the things to change. He just liked what I did, out of the box, and bada boom, bada bing, the film, in fact, the film was so popular, during the film festival, we had to have extra screenings of the film, and the film actually made the news, you know?
Is it available online?
I think it's still available online. And if it's not, you can see the sensation that it created. I think it's on Stephen Taylor's YouTube. You'll see all these tidbits. I don't think the film may be in full online. I'm not so sure. I know I have my own personal copy, but you know I can't give that out just like that.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but
sure,
yeah.
Sure. So what software do you use at the time?
All software? Oh my God. Software which I would not recommend anybody use. I was so new in film scoring at the time that when I switched, doing my work, like studio work, when I worked in various recording studios, I worked with Logic and I worked with Pro Tools, early versions of those.
Oh, okay.
But when I switched to PC, because obviously I didn't use my work stuff for it, I had Ableton Live, and early versions of Ableton Live is great for certain things. If you were a DJ, or if there are any DJs watching, or remixers, they definitely know Ableton Live. And it's great for those things. Not great for scoring a film. But that was the only software I had at the time. So I made do, and really pushed it to that version. I can't even remember the version it was. It's a very early version. Because, I mean, this is 2012, right? But I pushed it to what it could do, and it worked. You know, afterwards, of course, I got software that's more compatible to what I'm used to and what film scoring can be. You know,
so question, you mentioned that but the Man Spirit was a UA short film project. So this was not a paid project.
It was not a paid project. Okay.
Having won the awards, did it lead to a paid project? What was the next project on the line? How soon did you get
it? It didn't lead to a paid project initially. But it did lead to more visibility. So the second film, which I did the year after, was called Jab in the Dark, which is that film actually won, again, for Best Short at the 2013 Film Festival. Mm-hmm. So remember I was talking about marketing?
Yeah.
So what I did, I said, okay, these films, they're short films, and the nice thing about this, which is a side note, is that it's one thing to do a film with a director and a producer, but it's another thing to build relationships. So while they were growing, I was also growing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a very important thing. And animation is the same thing. You have to build relationships. So yes, these two films initially was not paid, but the nice thing is they won. So And I went to newspapers, and I literally went to newspapers and did other interviews and told people, and I quote, "If you want your film to win an award, it has to pass through my hands." That's what I said, verbatim. Because I have a track record. Two films and both of them won. Those are the exact words I said in the press. You know, and you could go to my website and you could see it. I literally said those things. I did not care.
After that, a flood of people came in, right?
I wanted to market myself as the premier film composer. And I'm
Yeah.
a winning track record of winning films. So I said that, and I made this bold claim. You know, I did not care who is offended. You know, I did not care.
No. No, I mean, well, yeah, the track record, right? So until it's proven wrong, right?
Two films, yes, two films, and those films won awards. You
Yeah,
know, I can't go wrong.
So, all right, let me ask, you know, animation, how did that come into play? Because how I think I've seen your name on Facebook from a long time ago,
Yeah.
You know, in animation groups and such like that. And I knew you were a musician, but I hadn't really seen your work until I started seeing you do, like, I don't know if it was competitions or if you were just doing it for marketing yourself's sake, but I saw where you, like, took a scene and you redid that score to the scene.
Yeah.
Like, you know, was that how you got introduced to animation, or were you introduced to animation before and then that just became something you did for extra marketing?
I got introduced to animation before. I actually did some work with Full Circle Animation, who you might know from Trinidad and Tobago.
Full Circle, yeah.
Yeah. So when they have stuff back in the day, the PSAs, the public service announcements, and a few other things. I did music for those, and I started doing sound design for some of them as well. Which, as I said, to me, it's logical because it's sound and music. So, and I mean, it's digitized. It's send me the film. I check the frame rate. I look at the scene, decide what music and the feel they're looking for the client, and I do it. So I started doing that for a little bit. The stuff that you saw with the rescores, that came about a few years ago from a guy called Brian Waters. He has this company called the QTube, C-U-E-T-U-B-E. And it's back to relationships. I formed a, he's actually from, if I'm not mistaken, he's from, not from Ukraine, even though he's done some stuff there. I think it's Poland, I have to check. But he does stuff between that country and UK. And he does for a few years he was teaching in Poland. But since I am part of various composer groups and so forth, he introduced himself in one of those groups. I think it's a group run by Spitfire Audio, which is a company that creates software, sample software for composers.
Okay.
And he said he was starting this group called the QTube to give composers clips of film and animation so they could practice on. And I saw him and I was like, this is an opportunity. So I contacted him and we have become friends pretty quickly. So much so that I have been part of two of his composer workshops where I was the only person from the Caribbean and the only black person on it because everybody else was from Europe or the States. And we have another one coming up early this year, which I can't say. You'll see it soon enough. Dealing with a particular film trailer. But it's still back to relationships. See, he put out these clips with and he also has competitions as well with animation. And so what I did, of course, I composed on these animations and put it out there. I didn't win those competitions, unfortunately. But I have now material where if somebody asks, let me hear your ideas on animation, on animated scene. I have not just one or two, I have a few of them.
Right.
So it's part of my resume, part of my reel, you know. So he has been doing a lot in terms of that as well, giving composers material, because that is Excellent. Actually a need for composers, that they do not have material to work with.
I'm glad you told me this because, you know, as you know, my brother is a musician and he's been looking for ways to market himself. And I was saying to him, you know, he should get into film scoring and scoring for games. But, you know, he doesn't have any way to really, you know, just magically get those jobs to score for them. He scored for a few, you know, PSA commercials for me back in the day. But, you know, a website like this, QTube, would really, really benefit him in terms of scoring something that is of a higher cinematic quality. You know?
That's right. Cool. The QTube has done a lot. It has, I think, and I'm pretty sure I'm wrong, right, to quote the number, but I think it has over, I think, 8,000 composers worldwide now, or something else. Yeah, it's growing, and it's been recognized by a lot of the software and sample companies. He has created, he saw a niche and has created something of value. So a lot of composers, filmmakers, and sound designers are going towards his website and his Patreon and the materials, and he's expanding, by the way. He put out something recently that he's expanding.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, it's great because
I'm really happy for him. So your brother could definitely look into that.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely tell him, because especially the fact that, you know, he started his website, so those clips are going to be free of copyright issues and that sort of thing. So I'll tell my brother about it, because he wants to compose music for that sort of thing. All right, so you've been in film and animation, and you say you've been doing that for like 10 years. Now, how much do you enjoy it, and what portion of your work is it? And if it's not a lot, what portion of your work would you love for composing to be, or do you prefer standard playing in a band?
For the band part, to me, it's more of a been there, done that. A band takes a lot of work. I mean, the energy at my age right now, I rather concentrate on something else than band. I don't mind composing for a band, but to get out there, go to the practices, do the gigs, pack up equipment, you know, not that I've been there, done that. So, I mean, I set my guitars and stuff like that, which of course I use for my own personal projects. Side note, I'm working on putting out 3 albums this year. So definitely my equipment is going to be used along with the software that I'm fortunate to have.
So you sing as well?
I used to, but let somebody else do it. Yeah. Let younger, stronger voices do that. But I would rather now concentrate my energies. I love being in studios. I'm a studio rat. I love being in recording studios. So I like to be there anytime I get a chance to, and spend enough time tweaking the gear, that kind of thing. And the advantage, and for me, at least the advantage of what I have now is that I can roll out of bed 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, put something there, save it, or even record a voice note on my phone, which I have done on numerous occasions, and then develop the idea, you know? Or even now, it has a software called MuseScore, MuseSore, which is an open source software music notation program, which I've been using since version 2. Version 4 has now come out, and it's fantastic. And I've started working with this new version on some material. I actually almost finished one right now. So it has everything from music notation and orchestrated sample music, sample scores. That scores sample instruments for the orchestra. So rather be home, you know, doing that, and then have email or travel send that out as a file, and let somebody else, you know, develop it or record it.
Okay. Is there a difference between, you know, in the process of composing for animation versus film?
For me, no. Except for a couple of things. As far as I could, from my past experience, A film, live action film, is not actually set until you see it on the screen. Because since everything is so digitized, a director could, at the very last minute, say, okay, I want something cut or edited or lengthened, right? And add a piece of a live action in it, which of course will affect the timings of the score and the sound and everything like that. So since everything is digitized, and everything is not locked, that's the term they use, it's not a locked film. You can be up to the day of release, still editing and writing music for it. For animation, as far as I could tell, from what I have been through so far, because I'm pretty sure other people and other filmmakers and or scores and for animation may have a different experience. Once I get everything as is, right? And then I score from the reel to reel to reel, digital reel, by the way, not actual, analog reel. Because animation takes so long to make, so you can't exactly chop stuff at the last minute and then next day send it out, so and also for me, I like to get into the process early. I know film scoring is basically a post-production process where we're one of the last people to have their hands on the film or animation before it goes out the door to the public. But I have come to the point where, at least with the directors I have worked with, that I will get the script early or the animatic early.
I've heard other musicians say that, involve us in the process as early as possible,
That's right.
for the script stage, because reading the story will help you to kind of figure out the type of vibe and emotion you want to put in the music,
That's right.
and you have more time to build it out than to
Correct.
wait till it's finished and now they need it in 3 weeks or whatever the case is.
It cuts down the amount of notes that you get from the director,
Good point. Good point. And as creatives, we all know we don't like too much notes, because after a while.
That's right. That's right. But even then, even if we get a lot of notes, it's still not ours. If we're working on our own album, yeah, we have carte blanche to do what we want. But it's the director's vision.
Yeah,
And
necessarily.
yeah, and we're there to serve the story, So if a person, and luckily that didn't happen to me. I mean, I've had front of Bedford in the growing pains of the director composer relationship. We have had some lively discussions, for want of a better word, not arguments, just lively discussions
Lively
of
discussion.
how things, of how things, because we still have good relationships now, and we
Okay.
still work. But it's just a matter of understanding different points of view and the processes of getting the team together to have it as a functioning, working, fluid unit to get the story out the door, and into the public.
You do sound effects as well?
Yeah,
Foley?
I do sound. Yeah.
Okay, so all right. Sound effects must be very different from music, because I mean, yeah, you've been doing music all your life, and the transition was easier when it came to film and animation, because it's still music. But sound effects, no. What was your first sound effects gig, and what was your preparation for that? Were you nervous at that point?
Funny enough, I can't remember the first one. I remember the first one for the public, which was a music video, which I actually wrote not one, not two, but three blogs on it. Called what was it? I think it was Lockdown. I think it was. After check, because it's been a few years. But it's a music video, and I was in charge of the first 40 seconds of it. All I had, 40 seconds. And I had to create the whole environment for that music video. You set the tone. Actually, no, I actually did a video before that, actually. It was a video with Destra, so artist
Ah,
Destra.
so
Yeah. And and another guy, I can't, the name forgets me, has left me because it's been a while. But I actually wrote a blog on that too. I have to check back my blogs. It's been a few years. But
What's your blog? What's your blog for those?
oh, it's actually on my website, Lancast Limited, lancastltd.com. And just click the blog section. All right, and you'll see the blogs there. Just hit the blogs and you'll see it.
Right.
And that one, the protagonist, the lead singer, he had to go through this video game, an arcade video game, right? And then from there, they had these pillars of light on either side. So I had to put the sound designed for each of those lights, those bars of light. And it's a nice thing to have a wide range of influences. I had this guy from the 70s to early 80s who was very famous at the time, a musician called Jean-Michel Jarre, right? He had this thing like a called like a laser harp or something like that, where he had these bars of light. I actually saw it in the late 80s, right? Early 90s. This show he had in Paris or something. And every time he touched the light, the
Right.
bar, it made a sound. So I remember that, and I incorporated that in the music video. Yeah.
That's interesting. Like, I can picture it in my head, but I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
it looks like a harp, but they're just bars of light, and your
That's
fingers
right.
strum it the same way you would strum a harp. Because when your
That's right.
fingers
And that, and
strum
that,
the
that's what
light,
he,
you
and that,
strum
and
it
that's what
too.
he did. He strummed it.
Wow.
So I had to time each one
I've never
properly,
seen that.
you know? And of course, everything from this is like one of the discussions there, and the director, by the way, Steven Taylor. This is one of the
Okay.
discussions we have. How the sound is supposed to sound through an arcade glass. Now, I played arcades back in the day. Those glasses are not thin, those are thick glasses. Yeah? So the sound from the outside, something hitting it from the outside, will sound different from a sound hitting from the inside. You know, so those are the kind of things as a sound designer you have to keep in mind, you know, that
All right.
the sound, yeah.
So, all right, you're telling me from a what you call it, a metaphysical level, but like
Yeah.
in terms of sound effects, you're watching a scene, you see somebody shuffling paper, you see somebody playing this arcade game, you see somebody putting on clothes. How do you go about finding the sounds or figuring out how to create the sounds? Because my guess would be that you probably didn't have access to a digital library of sounds. So, you know, how you work that out? Do you go and take some clothes and, you know, flap it in front of a mic? How you do that?
Actually, both. One is I have a battery of sounds, like a few gigs. A lot of them you can get for free. It has this company called Sonisys, who I want to when I do communicate to the guys. I think it's Sonniss. I think that's the correct spelling of it, sonisys.com. And every year or so, he puts out a few gigs of sound design assets,
Free?
very free, all royalty free. Because he's a sound design company. He has loads of gigs. So every year or so he puts out that, and you take it. You know, it's absolutely free. That's one. You're talking about roughing clothes. I actually did that for a sound design competition where this animated ninja was moving his clothes and spewing out fire. So while he's moving his clothes, I had my microphones and stuff like that. Took my these clothes, shook it to create that. You know, and by the way, that's a form of sound design called Foley, where you watch, yeah, where you watch the animation or the live action, and you create the sound for that particular effect. So in this particular case, it was the clothes, right? And then I use fireballs and stuff like that, and different fire explosions from that library that I got from Sonisys. And of course, I manipulated them using frame accuracy, so it lands at the right time on the animation, and EQs and panning, where you take the sound and move it from left to right, that kind of thing, and use all these various processes
Right.
to create the illusion that the sound is coming from where it's supposed to sound. And by the way, that's just one aspect of sound design, because you can use sound design to direct the viewer to a certain aspect of, you know, so.
And then that too, you know, you mentioned direct, like, do you ask the director, you know, are you using surround sound, and then decide, okay, what section of the room is this sound coming from, and then only make sure the sound happens on that channel, you know, all of that sort of thing, or is it just, you know, more?
You director won't get that technical, saying I want to come from that speaker that time. But it does help. If it's 5.1, using an immersive environment. Now, I haven't done much 5.1 yet, but everything right now is going towards that, including podcasts, right? Including podcasts. Everything is going to be immersive now. Podcasts are now going into immersive.
Right.
That's the trend. It was mono, stereo, 5.1, and now it's going to be more Atmos. You know, that kind of thing. So everything now is going.
Interesting.
So my setup isn't 5.1, but of course it pays to know people who know you and to build relationships. So of course I know people who do that, including the same people when I was back in the day recording Panorama in 5.1 in university. I have people from there who know how to do it. You know, so for a few upcoming projects, which unfortunately, as you know, I can't say, we will be looking at recording in 5.1. So it can be mixed in 5.1. And of course, you could melt it down to stereo, you know, for a stereo environment. That's the way the world is going, 5.1.
All right, let me ask you this now. You live in Trinidad now, right?
Yeah.
You don't live in America or Canada or Europe or whatever.
America, right now for me, would be a nice place to visit, but not to stay.
Not to stay.
So I guess I do know of a few people there. Most of them I don't say trick, because I don't like things like tricks and hacks. I don't like saying those words. But it's a marketing asset. I know people from the Caribbean, Trinidad, Tobago, and other places, who live in the States, who make their living there, and who are doing very well there, right? So my thing is to form relationships with them, and it's very easy for two reasons. One, for example, the ones who I know who are Trini born, I form relationships with them, and I don't have to do much in terms of introduction. They're Trini, I'm Trini. So the icebreaker is you know, because we have a similar cultural roadmap that we all came from, right? And then usually, since they're part of the diaspora, they like to help people that are living, you know, in the country of their origin. You know, once you don't go cup in hand begging for work, obviously you have to add value.
Right.
You know. Right, because the people who I know, it has to be like that, because I'm sure there are a ton of people that go via cap in hand saying, you know, help me out, but that doesn't work, you know, your form relationships. So you have to build your own value,
I was gonna ask you, yeah. Like, how comes you haven't moved from Trinidad? Why stay in Trinidad? You know, because I know you're well respected internationally, you know.
Yeah.
And most people, you know, it's like once you get in, step is to go abroad. So why stay in Trinidad, and do you think, you know, you're still as successful as you want to be from Trinidad? Do you think moving would help you to be more successful, and is the aim to stay in Trinidad and be successful from Trinidad?
I would prefer for me to do both, spend time outside, spend time here, spend time outside, spend time here. I mean, I love my country, but just like you know, Caribbean, most Caribbean countries, as far as I know, we have certain limitations and
Idiosyncrasies.
restrictions.
Oh, okay,
Yeah.
very.
Yeah. But we have certain particularities.
Yeah,
Yeah.
all right.
And the thing about it is that niche market-wise, it's much easier to build a noise here than to go over
True,
there at the start. You
that
know,
is
so
true.
yeah.
That
So for example,
true.
I'm in Clubhouse, right? In certain clubhouses and on Clubhouse. And I was speaking quite recently to an immigration officer, United Immigration Officer. And she told me a few certain things about the visa requirements, that kind of thing. And yeah, I basically tick all the boxes, including I'm recognized by the state here through the Ministry of
Okay.
Art. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's an asset. I've been spoken about, featured in various newspapers, podcasts, that kind of thing locally here. So, you know, so, and this is some of the requirements that they like to see, you know, that in order to come here to take up space. So,
Interesting. Okay.
yeah. So it's much better to create the buzz here.
Right,
And
right.
the reason why I am known outside and I've done some projects internationally as well is because I made the noise here first, you know?
That's a good point. That's a good
Yeah.
point. I mean, I even my boss, one of my old bosses, I remember he's an American resident, and you know, he would travel abroad very often and come back to
Right.
Jamaica. And I would ask, I asked, I remember asking him, why come back to Jamaica? Why not stay overseas? You're a resident and so on. And he was like, look, he said, in America, I'm a second class citizen. In Jamaica, I'm a first class citizen. You know, he just has more clout here, you know.
Yeah.
And while, yeah, maybe he could be making more money there, he would be in a situation that he wouldn't necessarily like to be in. You know, here he had a lot more flexibility.
Yeah.
He had a lot more, he just had a lot more say, you know, and that was more
Right.
important to him. So yeah, I get it. I definitely get it.
Not
Okay.
only that, it's also a case of same thing I talk about with the niche market. Over many states, for example, composers are a dime a dozen. You have thousands of film composers coming from, first thing first, I never went to a film composing school, right?
Right.
It has people over there who come from film composing schools and they keep pumping them out, thousands of them every year,
Right.
right? You have a saturated film industry with composers, right? And most of those composers, and I see them on the forums, and some of them are public composer forums, some of them are private composer forums, and all of them are asking the same thing: how would I get work? How would I get work? And then they keep bothering, and even with some of the private ones that I'm fortunate to be in, because you know they scan all your stuff before they let you in, right? One of the rules is do not bother the established film composers. So, for example, I'm a film composer with Hans Zimmer on it, right?
Okay,
And
yeah.
Hans Zimmer does make his comments and stuff like that. You cannot private message him. You cannot. There are certain things that you cannot do. You cannot go on and give and say, you know, hire me for a job. That will not work in the real world, you
Right.
know. And thousands of film composers make that mistake. So what I do, and make sure that I create enough buzz here. And
Right.
I don't know if you've seen it. And it's not like I'm tooting my own horn because I kept it quiet for a while and then put it out. But you may have seen it. If you scroll to my stuff, I put out a picture of a couple years ago with Hans Zimmer and John Williams, who's my favorite composer.
Ooh,
And he
John
asked me
Williams.
to, yeah, and he asked me to be tagged, asked me to tag him on it. And
Oh,
I freaked out. Yeah.
nice.
So,
I can imagine.
it might be easy to find it on my Instagram. Go to my Instagram and just scroll through, you'd see it. And I
I
freaked.
would.
Yeah.
I
So
mean,
the
for
first
the,
thing
and
I did.
just for those people who don't, I mean, most people might know Hans Zimmer because
Yeah.
he composes quite a lot of stuff, even
Yeah.
today. You know, but John Williams, well, from my memory, John Williams is like
Yeah.
Superman, what else?
E.T. Star Wars.
E.T., Star Wars, all
Yeah,
those
Jaws.
great movies from the 80s,
Okay.
you know.
And they're now actually, he and Spielberg are now putting out a new film that just came out. So that's coming out pretty soon if it's not out already. And they just celebrated by their 50-year working relationship,
50.
John Williams and
Wow.
Spielberg. Yeah,
Okay.
he finished in
Well,
his
yes,
list as
that's
well.
true from because John was from the 70s. So yeah, that is true. 50 years.
50
Wow.
years. As I said in the beginning, it's always down to relationships. Skill sets, to me are a dime a dozen. You can learn that stuff off
Right.
of YouTube. Yeah,
And let's give a early let's give a early tip, right? What would you say are the top few things that musicians, coming up today need to do to market themselves or to get to that level where they are finding work and getting work or done?
First things first. Your ego don't mean crap. Your skills
You
don't
don't mean
mean
crap.
nothing, because it has a hungry little 14-year-old will mash you up musically. That's the first thing. Once they get over that, things get a lot easier.
All right. That's a good point because yeah, I know enough people say, yo, man, we are the baddest thing. No, nobody never hear music like this yet. I hear that so often. I hear that with film, I hear that with animation. So yeah, that's a good point. So ego don't mean crap. What
You
else?
you've been slaving on your guitar, slaving on your animation, slaving on everything for years, and then some little snotty nose 13-year-old put something up and hit viral and hit 12 million, 15 million people watching it, and next thing you know they get in the work. That's the reality we're living in. Have internet, world travel.
Right, right, right.
Now, as a one of my co-workers in UTT, his name is Martin Raymond, a very, very famous music producer and sound engineer. His name is Martin Mice Raymond. That's his nickname, Mice. If you're hearing noise, I think there's still the water pump on. So give me a second. You hearing that noise?
No, I'm not
Okay.
hearing anything.
All right. So he said something very interesting many years ago when I was he was teaching
Oh,
that
by the
class.
way, sorry to interrupt you, but just let you
Martin
know,
Raymond.
you see the same music video that you saw me in the other day?
Say
Did I share a music video with you? Chinese Kiki, and I'm in it doing some Kung Fu Master stuff.
I think so, but that was a while ago.
No, man, it would have been recently. I'll share with you again, but I'll just let you know that the
Yeah.
artist Chinese Kiki is in the
Yeah.
chat
He
listening.
said something
Send you
very
his link.
interesting. He said a musician today is not competing with his peer group, or even the industry today. He's competing with over 100 years of recorded music, because recorded music recorded for mass consumption has been around for about 100 years. The phonograph, record player, so you're competing with that. Much less, you remember, you're competing with what recorded music, meaning that your standard,
I
at least
see.
for the westernized notes, Western European music, classical music, which is over what, 300 years
Right,
or so. So you're
right,
competing against that. And then
right. Right.
remember, we also have all this indigenous music from Africa, China, India, and all these indigenous tribes.
I get
So you
you.
have all that, which has been passed on from generation to generation. You are not special.
Right.
You have to be competing against. So what you have to do, because remember we at the beginning of this question was talking about relationship, is a
Right.
few things. One, get a website. That's the first thing. Get a website, get a
Definitely.
website, get a website. And it's not hard to do because you have free websites. You have
Right.
Wix.com, Wix.com. You have Squarespace.com, right? You can start with those, because social media, you cannot control social media.
No.
Look at Twitter. Twitter is going on the tubes right now, right?
Yeah.
We are not the owners of that.
Right.
Of that, that we're not owners of Instagram, which we're
Exactly.
using right now. We cannot change the format, we cannot change the color, we cannot do anything. We do not own these. What you can control is a website, your website, where you can put things on it and control your messages. And one of the first things people ask is, do you have a website?
Yeah.
You know, instead of just showing social media links, you know, which in a sense is kind of bad for a prospective person. So a website and attach your media links to it, your social media links to it.
And that's a simple one, because I mean, even with animators, I have a lot of students who they've been drawing and animating and animating. And when I say to them, you know, they might say to me, hey, they want a job. And I say, well, send me a portfolio. And I'm getting these cell phone pictures of a picture. And I'm like, what happened to the website? Can you just send me a link? And then they send me an Instagram, and then the Instagram is private. And then I have to say,
yeah.
And I'm like, you know, if you send this to somebody, nobody's going to take the time to, you know. And then on top of it, you don't have a website. I'm not sure if I'm to take you seriously, or if you're just a hobbyist, you know. So yeah, the website thing is definitely very important.
That's right.
A website. And I mean, I think that should go for everybody, whether you're a musician, an animator, an actor, you know, whatever the case is, you know, you should have a website, because it's the one place that people can go to see everything about you. With your Instagram, it's images and video. You don't get a chance to really write your bio unless you're going to put up a picture of your bio.
That's right.
Which, how many scrolls do I have to do to get to that bio? You know, and if there's an article that's released about you, you know, how many scrolls till I see the picture, or do I have to go and click on your bio and go through, you know, all kind of things? So yeah, website definitely sounds like a good point.
The advantage of a website as well, I mean, you're seeing it, is the you can write blogs.
Yeah,
so once in a while, I write a blog on the behind the scenes process of how I created a certain asset for a client. And the advantage of that is that you'll be seen as an expert in that field.
Right.
Yeah. Because a lot of people, obviously, they see the end product, but they do not know the amount of hard work, grief, thought process, and all these things that go behind making what you're seeing on the screen, whether it's animation, music, sound design, or a combination of all three,
right,
you know?
Right.
These things take work. And yes, it's fun, but it's work. And it's hard work.
Definitely.
Yeah? It takes you're an animator. You well know the amount of hours you have to put in to get at least 10 seconds of frame. Yeah?
Yep.
So people have to understand this. I remember giving a lecture to a class, a school had invited me to give a lecture to a class. And I told them, you know, for music, they see all the glamour on the stage, they saw the lights and stuff like that, and they get attracted to thinking it's easy. But they're not seeing behind the back, you know, backstage, all the infighting, all the backbiting,
right,
all the ego mongering that you have to wade through, you know, to even get to even be a guest artist, not even the main headliner, to be a guest artist.
Right.
On another thing that people have to know is about the business, right? It's not called show art. It's not for a reason. It's called show business for a reason. It's not called animation art. It's not called music art. It's called the animation business. It's called music business for a reason. It's a business. Yes, it's great and it's creative, which is cute, but you have to eat. So
right.
Yeah, lights have to be on, right? So yeah, these are the kind of things that people have to realize what's going on. And then you have the added flavor of living in a Caribbean country where arts aren't as appreciated. I've seen it both. Arts aren't as appreciated as a doctor or a lawyer.
No, you can see it in the schools. I don't know about Trinidad, but here, you can go to a school and there's no art program.
It's, I don't know about you, but when I first started out, I have been asked by well-meaning friends and a few enemies. Are you sure? Are you sure this is what you want to do? You sure you don't want to do this as a hobby? You sure you want to do this as a second job?
Got that too. I got that
Yeah,
too.
you got that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I got it so bad that I had to hide the fact that I was doing it so that
Wow.
I didn't hear the negative comments, you know, because
Wow.
when I was just like, man, I really want to get into this film business. And, you know, every people were like, maybe you should go and do your master's in IT and become a manager and blah, 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 blah. And I just literally had to say to them, like, when I was going on a film shoot, you know, especially when working for free, I would just say to them, oh, you know, work calls me in on the weekend, so I'm going to go to work. And they were fine with that. If I said I was going to go on a film set, they'd be like, you sure you want to waste your time with that? How much money is that paying you? But I just said, you know what, I'm going to work. And nobody argued with that. And then, you know, when they see things happening now, they go, wow, you know. But
That's
yeah.
right. Only send your phone buzzing and they beat their chest in. I know that fella. Blah blah
Yo, let me tell you,
blah.
I had a friend who was trying to dissuade me from it. And then when he saw that I was doing well at it, he wanted me to teach him film. I was like, interesting.
You see? You see? That's what has happened. That's what has always happened. As I was telling a friend of mine, a well-known person, go through his thing too. I tell him when they give me this grief, and then when he mark bus and he's making success, and you see they start a call you, get your phone and make it go dark. Let it go to dark that phone. You know? It's very true what they say about, you know, if they was that who they well one is from Jamaica with Bob Marley, who the cap fit, let them wear it. You know what I mean? To go on corner foul. He made success. All of a sudden, people started all of a sudden supporters grows out of nowhere. People who were blanking are right through. All of a sudden, they want to be your best friend. That occurred in my life. I reached an age where I darkened phone. And I've done that a few times. I've cut people off. And I do not care. Because where were you when you was when I was going through this stuff, and I mean, as artists, we are still going through stuff, right? It's just that it's a lot easier now because we have a little leverage because we have a you know some credentials. But at the same time, you have to know where you stand with people and draw a line, you know. So people have been calling me a lot. I'll give an example, in animation. I have had my company besmirched. In a publication, they took my ad, changed the words, right, and put it on a publication. The person has not apologized yet. I think it's I have already screenshots, you know. But the lovely thing is, she seems to succeeding right through, you know. And to me, that's like fuel because if you want to crab and barrel, if you want to put me down, well, okay, good. As I told a person when that happened to me. And this is the other side of me popping off. So excuse me for the face change and the I can trade a side of watch. I am not the best thing since sliced bread. I am the bakery. I am the bakery. Don't play with me. I'm gonna mess you up with success. You know? Yeah, I don't play that.
Great. Keep
So
talking. I'm stepping off camera for a moment. Keep
no
talking.
problem. So that is what happens. Once you start to make headway and make success, people will start to pull you down, you know. And it's a sad thing, but that's the reality, you know. And if you don't have the wherewithal to do it out of spite, just to follow your dream, because nobody is going to fulfill your dream for you. Yeah, you just
So,
gotta keep pushing.
question. So in you earlier we were saying, Nina, we're gonna talk about like the
Oh, by
stage of the film.
the way, your camera just went to your logo.
Oh yeah, no,
Yeah,
don't worry about that. Don't worry
okay,
about that. Just,
cool, no
yeah,
problem.
what happened is my battery is dying, so I'm trying to get this thing plugged
Oh,
in
charger, yeah.
quickly. But yeah, so what do you think about the state of music today? What are your
Oh,
thoughts about that?
it's good in some aspects. Hilariously crappy in others.
Hilariously crappy in others. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. On my side, I've been now, it took me a while, but I have now started to put certain systems in place in terms of making sure all my metadata on my music is accounted for. My metadata on my music. Right? I think I know what metadata is. I don't know if the audience knows what metadata is.
Oh, maybe not.
Okay. For music,
if you want.
Yeah. For music, metadata is basically when you play a song, the song has embedded in it who's the composer, what right. year the song was made, who was the lyricist. And depending on how much metadata you put, how many musicians, what are the names of the musicians that were on that piece of music, that kind of thing. So when the music is played, whether on terrestrial television or radio or digitally via streaming, it can be easily tracked. So the monies and the royalties could go to the appropriate persons. That's what basically right, metadata right. is on music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Right.
And it'll be the same thing with film and animation. But music has been played, but the music is basically called cues, C-U-E. So when it's played in a public forum, or even on a digital forum, like streaming, for example, if it's Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever, the appropriate monies will be going to the right people.
Right.
So
right.
for me, I was a member, well, I still am a member of COT, which is the Corporate Organization of Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. I have recently now joined BMI.
Okay.
Yeah. So BMI is the PRO, in the United States. And I've now attached that now to my PNA account. And I'll soon be attaching everything from the MLC, which is they look at digital streams. Right, mm-hmm. and directly digital streams monitoring, and so I'll be getting like that kind of revenue from
right. Yeah, and that's a good point. A lot of people either don't know about that aspect of it,
yeah.
Or they know about it but they don't take it seriously. It's very important. In fact, it's a great thing you mentioned metadata, because a lot of people put out the songs and they don't include the metadata. I know when you're publishing the song, it will ask you to fill in the metadata, and some people just kind of just click OK and move on, leave it blank. But that's interesting that you mention it, because that does make it easier for them to track.
Yeah. I see a question about can you remove metadata? You can, but why? Why?
Right.
The reason why you attach metadata to music, I don't know how it's done for the animation, right? Because I know obviously metadata will be for things like the actual company that got created the program, because mm-hmm. that's how they make their revenues from certain royalties, that kind of thing. But the animated product, I don't know how it is for the visuals, how you'll do that. But for sound, definitely we have that in place. I know obviously, and you may notice too, that when an animation or film is broadcast, the public broadcast, it does have royalties for the directors and these kind of things.
Yeah, and the writers and so, like, the people above the
writers. That's right. So, but I don't know how that is allocated in terms of the product.
Yeah.
But for music,
I know locally we have, so for music we have, if I'm correct, we have, what's the name of that? It's not Jam Copy. Jam Copy is for written work. So if you're a writer and you've written a commercial or you've written a film or something that's going to be aired, broadcast or whatever, they are the ones who kind of, keep track of that and collect the royalties on your behalf.
Right.
With music, it is, I don't know why the name is escaped, is Jams, J-A-M-M-S, Jamaica Music, no, J, or is it J-Cap, Jamaica Composers, and it might be both Jams and J-Cap.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. Maybe somebody in the comment knows. But, you know, there is that. I know for written and for music, something
yeah.
definitely exists. I don't know for, like, you know, actors, if something like that exists. I don't know.
I have that as well. But I don't know. Just like you, I don't know. That music I assume it goes through if they're unionized, which I assume it'd be good for them to be unionized.
Mm-hmm.
Go through the union.
Right, right.
Yeah, but I don't know about Jamaican actors or Trinidadian actors. I know that yeah, I think Trinidad.
I don't know about producers either. I'm not. I mean, I think the producers probably handle that in contract, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it has some kind of process for that because everybody has to be protected, you know. I know that at least for actors, or at least in the States, it has things like SAG, which is Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
I think in Trinidad and Tobago, and I know things are getting serious in Trinidad and Tobago in terms of certain entities wanting to be unionized, to be taken seriously, especially in the acting. But I don't know the particularities of it. I just see things happening, but since I'm not an actor, I can't give any specifics by seeing things. And I know, for example, it has a casting company that is very prevalent in Trinidad that does put up stuff, but I get it to my emails ever so often.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know for us, we don't have, as Ray is saying, we don't have unions for film techs in Jamaica, right? None for actors. I know some actors recently were having some meetings and discussing starting a union. And I think they came to the conclusion that it may not be the right time yet for a union. But one of the things they had definitely said was should happen is they need to have some education programs,
right.
Whether it be workshops that they have, you know, every 2 months or every 3 months, where they educate, you know, up and coming actors about contracts, about you know, what their rights are. Because a lot of them don't know. Like, this was one of the things that came up in the discussion. A lot of actors don't know that if you are in a commercial, the contract is supposed to state that your image, you know, is supposed to be used for, say, a year.
That particular right.
Compensation. And if they're showing it again after that year, there's supposed to be additional compensation.
Right.
But either the contract doesn't state or it will say they can use your image in perpetuity, you know, which you can refuse. But a lot of actors don't know that, and they don't, you know, they don't exercise their rights where that are class concerned. So an actor will be in a commercial front and center. They're not an extra in the background. And that commercial show for 10 years, and, you know, all that actor made from it was like,
glad to be in a commercial.
Right.
I should have. Same thing here. My dream, at least for musicians, and I actually spoke to one yesterday. If Gospel Life and this film comes through, this thing comes through, others are hiring musicians who I know, not because I know them, they'll be hired. But because I see them play live, and I know what they can do, so I hire them for this particular purpose. But I asked this particular musician if he's a member of BMI, and he said he kind of thinks he is because he thinks he kind of signed it up 10 years ago, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, sort that out, because the direction I want to take film, at least film composers,
right?
To have a bevy of musicians who I can rely on to give me certain feels. This is thing like Hans Zimmer does, and what a few of the other composers do, right? They, and it's back to relationships again. I know these people, but I don't want to hire I them just because I know them, right? And it's back to the same thing we were talking about before with directors. People come into you because they're a musician or animator and say, I'm looking for a job, give me a job. It right. does not work like that at all in the real world.
Right.
It's
right.
always the story or it's the director's vision. I have been fired and turned down for a few jobs already because, and I think I did actually put that up on social media, the rejection letters. Obviously without the name of the director, all right? But you get rejected because, not because you became an a-hole on the set or whatever, but because the music and the feel did not fit the film.
Right.
So you chose to do it, right?
It's no hard feelings.
It's right. business.
Right, it's yep. business.
So it's the same thing with musicians. But my dream now is to have that kind of relationship with musicians where they know that aspect of the business, meaning, and even I know I'm still learning about it, huh? So I'm not 100% there yet in terms of that aspect, particular aspect of the business, where you could hire musicians, and from the film that's been shown, they get a percentage. Because they were part of it. And that means, obviously, they were not the composer of the film, because I'm the composer. They were not the lyricist, whatever. But right. they, since they were part of the creative process, right?
Right?
In creating the feel of that scene or that film,
right?
They would have to get part of the spoils of the royalties.
Right.
Right? How much, if it's on a point system, like what they do in a quote-unquote regular music album, right? Or something else. So I'm still investigating that. And then to apply that here in Trinidad and Tobago and also in the Caribbean.
Right. Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. Boy, I'm sure we could go on all day.
Yeah, I just thought Ray Edward says depends on the contract that you sign, which is true, but also what contract? Because I signing a contract as a composer is one thing, but being a composer, I'm the head of department. I'm an HOD, right? So usually I'll play my own stuff or do stuff computerized out of the box. But if I'm hiring musicians, right? That's a different thing altogether. It's not like I'm hiring musicians for my own album, which is a different thing because, of course, the point system, so on and so forth. But you're hiring them to be part of a process that is not really mine because I'm also hired, right, from the director and the producer. They're hiring me to do it. So it's a different dynamic. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in that situation before.
The animator, because obviously, I mean, it's one thing for you to animate everything yourself, but if you're hiring some junior animators, you know, unless it's a work for hire, you know, it has to fall under some other business relationship.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I did have a situation where I got an international project and I had to hire someone else. So I had the contract between me and that client, and then I had to have a separate contract between me and the person I was hiring, especially because the contract between me and the client had certain things in there that, you know, you weren't supposed to do and blah, blah, blah. So I had to make sure that the person working for me also knows you can't do these things. You can't talk about this. You know, until this is, publish what you drew for this thing, you know, whatever the case is. So, yeah, very, 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 very key. But, David, I am going to wrap this up. We've been going.
Yeah, this has been fantastic. Before you go, while you're talking, I had it on my laptop here. I took a couple of screenshots. I want to put these screenshots up on social media and tell people about this wonderful conversation we're having. And to look out for it very soon. That's okay.
Yeah, man. And what I will do is, I'm gonna basically grab the video. I'll put it up on my YouTube, and I'll convert to audio and put it on my podcast as well. And I'll fling up some snippets on Instagram so people can watch it if they missed it. It was a really, really good conversation. We covered
quite
a
really,
lot.
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Always a pleasure.
And also, now people thought I to join. Oh my God.
Yeah,
But we're now
yeah.
finishing the conversation.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll leave the entire video up for a little while on Instagram. But
Yeah.
after a while, once I've downloaded it, I'm going to take it down and I'm going to just cut some snippets and,
yeah,
you know, put on Instagram. Because nobody wants to watch this 1.5 hour thing on Instagram. Maybe they'll watch on YouTube.
It would be a surprise some composers might. Because I saw some of the people join that are not from the Caribbean. I got so many names going on. And I know them.
Yeah, you see some names that are not from the Caribbean. And yeah, Ray,
well,
thank you very much, gentlemen,
yeah,
for the invite. You're welcome.
Most blessings.
All right.
And we'll talk because, as you know, we have some stuff coming up, you know, you and I. So
yeah,
they will be much surprised and happy with the stuff that we'll be putting out in this year, 2023.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, man.
Thanks again.
No problem.
Take care.
You take care.
Right. Yeah,
Bye-bye.
Trying to remember how to end it.
Yeah, I'm looking to. I'm looking to figure out how to do it. I think it's right if you're using a
Android. Yeah. All right.